Welcome to As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. Today we welcome Glass Lungs guitarist Alex Lennis to the podcast. The new Glass Lungs EP, Afterglow, is out today. Alex talks about the current state of the music scene in New York City for smaller independent bands, why Glass Lung decided not to talk about their previous projects, the band's shoegaze-inspired sound, the themes on Afterglow, and more. Thanks much for listening to this episode of As the Story Grows. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for listening. You can find links in our show notes or at asthestorygrows.com for our mailing list, our community on Discord, and our Patreon page, where $1 a month gets you early access to every episode. Enjoy today's conversation with Alex Lennis from Glass Lungs.
Losing my voice a little bit, so over here drinking tea, trying to make sure you can hear what I say.
Oh, man, I guess it was the beginning of this year. Yeah, after New Year's, I like lost my voice completely for like a week and a half, which so fun. And then when it like started to come back, I had a podcast booked, and I was like, the struggle to get through that is like, I don't ever want to do that again.
Yeah. Oh man,
it's so great. You're up in New York.
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Nice. Did you grow up in New York, or are you a transplant?
No, I grew up in New York, outside of the city.
Okay.
And then about 15, 16 years ago, I moved to the Brooklyn Greenpoint area.
Nice. What was growing up like?
In just New York in general?
Yeah.
My dad was really into cars and boats and stuff, so there was a lot of like race car stuff and boating stuff, and I pretty much only ate seafood.
that's a lifestyle. Did you find, I grew up just outside the suburbs of DC, or like in the suburbs of DC, so I had that experience of like spending a lot of time in the woods and outdoors, and then like having a big city right up there. Was that kind of your experience, getting to have like the best of both worlds?
You know, I never went into the city too much as a kid. My grandfather lived out here, and we would go, you know, maybe once every 2 years or so. And then when I got into my like teenage years, it was just like, whatever, it's right there. And you kind of take advantage of the fact that it's so close, you know, or take for granted of the fact so close. And then in my like early 20s, my friends were always going out here, and then, you know, met a girl out here, and that's that.
that'll do it. What got you to music then?
To bring my dad up again. Yeah. My dad had a giant CD collection. Like one of those like carousel ones with like hundreds of CDs.
Nice.
There used to be this place called The Wiz. And we used to go to The Wiz like couple times a month, and he would just like get a new stack of CDs.
Nice.
and then he was just like, I think you should play the drums. And I was like, what? Okay. And I started by playing drums first, and I got into guitar later.
Nice. Most parents are not like, you know what you should do? Play the drums.
I think he was like fulfilling a dream that he had that didn't work out because he wanted drums as a kid, and his parents got him drumsticks and a little pad thing.
That was not filling that void.
Yeah.
What was that transition then to guitar?
So I like I said, I started by playing drums. But my first band, I did with my friends in like junior high school to high school, and there was already a drummer, and my friend Kyle was just like, "You want to play bass?" So I was like, "All right," and I just like got a bass.
Oh man,
didn't know what I was doing. Went back to the drums, started touring with bands playing drums, and then I just hated like being in the back all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Like, and I hated that, like, you know, I had no real like input to like how the songs were written or the parts that were written. I just wanted more involvement, I think. Mm-hmm. And that led me to guitar.
Nice. Nice. That makes sense.
And I've never had any guitar lessons. I actually, that's a lie. About a year ago, I tried to get into guitar lessons and I was like, this is more work than it's worth at this point. I'm like, I'm 38 years old trying to take guitar lessons.
I'm going to be 41. And like at some point last year, I was like, I should really like sit down and learn some guitar scales and like figure out what I'm doing. And I tried and I was just like, at this point, I've been playing for like 30 years. It is what it is. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I was like, I'm never going to be a shredder, and that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, I've accepted that as well.
Yeah. On the band's bio, I don't remember if it's on the website or on the press release, there's like mentions of like label associations, but no bands. Is it just like an embarrassment of what you've done, or do you not want that to be like the thing that your band is known for?
I was wondering, you know, it's weird because you know, when you write out the press release, are you gonna write like X band
right.
and then associated with record labels ...
Yeah.
How much are you gonna write in there? Mm-hmm. And we've also talked about, do we even put that in there anymore, you know? So yeah, we all came from like old metal bands, so, and we've tried to like divert from that scene. We just, for us, it was something new.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to jump on like the coattails of our old bands.
Yeah.
And I guess that had been part of it as well.
Gotcha. That's fair. Well, then let's talk about Glass Lungs, how this band get started.
Yeah. So it was about 2015, maybe like the winter of 2014. And I had posted on, back then there were like a bunch of like forums on Facebook and things where you could like find other musicians and whatever. And I had posted that I was looking to start a band. And an acquaintance of mine had been like, oh, you should talk to this guy, Bill. So Bill and I started talking, you know, another guy came up. So yeah, I found all the people on that musician's page. So originally the band was called Strangers because none of us knew each other. We wrote like an EP and I got a job offer to move across the country. So I left.
Oh man.
Yeah. And when I came back, they only had two of the guys left. And yeah. I was like, what do you guys think about getting everybody back? And they were like, yeah, all right, let's do it. So like we just picked up where we left off when I left.
Yeah.
And we went into the studio, we recorded 2-song EP, and then we recorded another 2-song, and then that's when like members started changing around.
It's been a while since Impermanence came out. I know obviously the pandemic happens in there, but is it just like everybody gets older, priorities change, people get married or have children, whatever, and that is just like life happens and you're an independent band, so there's no like contract to fill, like
that's yeah
time. Yeah,
you know, we've never once intentionally kicked anybody out of the band. Everyone has just like left on their own and always really good terms. Every single person that's left the band, I'm still really good friends with. You know, we, when it started, what happened with Impermanence is, you know, we recorded that album and we didn't get the mixes back for it until a year later. So like, there was a lot of burnout from that whole period, I think. And at the same time, we were starting to get, you know, weekend, like little weekend tours and like runs and stuff like that. And our guitar player that was playing baritone at the time was like, hey guys, like if this is like the direction, I'll step down because I don't want to like be in the way of you guys progressing.
Yeah.
So he left, and soon after our bassist left, and we started backtracking the both of them.
Okay.
And it's funny, one of them's name is Bill and the other one's name is Jay. So we called the backtrack Jill. The computer was literally named Jill.
Nice.
And we played like that for well over a year. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And when the pandemic hit, it was like, all right, well, we don't have a bassist to write. One of our guitar players lived like an hour away. And I was living with the drummer at the time. And the other guitar player kind of was just like, hey guys, you know, I've been writing with some other people and, you know, I'm doing more doing this right now than seeing you guys. Like, I don't, you know, yeah. We were like, yeah, it's fine, you know, and it took us 3 years to find a new lineup.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, you need to like, you need to work with people that you like, I don't know, you have a flow with, yeah. You know, and that's a hard thing to find.
Yeah.
You need people who had a similar background in music or like some sort of relatable aspects to write new music. And that was really hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. How is the New York music scene for an independent band, especially, I don't know, you guys kind of exist between genres, but in a more shoegaze indie rock environment, I'd feel like.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, or I guess not as a kid, as being in my, like, in high school, post high school, and like, getting shows was so easy.
Yeah.
There were so many venues. There were so many promoters. You could go to a show every single weekend.
Yeah.
And now it's very much like there's a big divide. So it's either you're playing the smallest, tiniest bars or you're playing like the huge venues. There's no more in between. There's no more like band middle class.
Yeah.
if you know what I mean. And that's like where we lie, is like this middle class of, you know, we can't play a small bar because our equipment is gigantic.
Yeah.
And we have like a 20 space rack for just our in-ear monitors and stuff. Like, they'd be like, what are you doing? And then, you know, we haven't hit that peak yet where we're getting a lot of, you know, promoters and bookers who want us to start opening the bigger shows. So we're in this, like, limbo.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of, like, view the New York music scene, especially because that is the way the venues are. They're either, like, tiny bars or they're massive.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way big city music scenes are in general, unfortunately, now. If there's cool stuff happening on a smaller level, I'm too old to know about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we were kids, like, they would just like book out like a hall or like something like that, a VFW,
yeah,
and pack hundreds of kids in there, yep, to see the local bands. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
That doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's great, 'cause if you're a small band, you can be global. The problem is everybody wants global, and like, nobody's just going to, you know, you can only knock on your friend's door so many times, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about this new EP, Afterglow. Where did that title come from?
It came from the last track that's going to be coming out.
Okay.
So it is the title track. We wanted to name it. We wanted to self-title it, actually.
Okay.
Because we felt like it's a whole new lineup aside from me and the singer. And it's a whole new direction. We really wanted to do that, but Spotify wouldn't let us because we had a self-titled EP. So we went with the title track, if that's the honest truth.
Nice. I guess that is. I overlooked that Afterglow is a song on here. It's like, that's not it is. It's the second song. I've only listened to this record a dozen times. Don't mind me.
That song comes out August 22nd.
Yes.
Ironically, the same day that Deftones' new album comes out.
You know, they kind of just sprung that on everybody. And when you're the Deftones, you could do that.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. So we're just hoping, since it comes out, you know, at the same time, they might just be like, hey, you guys want to open for our tour?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, there are some like Deftones vibe similarities on the record. What's kind of that inspiration for that sound that's like on the heavier shoegaze bent?
Yeah. I think that when we got back together, we were like, let's just write whatever we feel like writing. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not worry about what we wrote before. Let's just write what comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple songs we wrote together were very aggressive. And we were like, all right, we got to back it up a bit. Like, our singer Chad like does not even know what to sing over this. Our old drummer and I, we really loved like proggy stuff, like off time, mm-hmm, weird dancing around the one kind of stuff, and everyone was kind of like, all right, how can we do what we're doing and just like make it a little bit more like palatable?
Yeah.
And
add reverb.
Yeah, add reverb. And back during Impermanence, we had a third guitar player that played baritone, and we didn't want to lose that aspect, but we also didn't want to get a sixth member, because it's already hard enough to find five. And so I kind of took on the role of playing both baritone and regular guitar.
Yep.
So when we write our songs, I write all of it on the baritone. And then once we have it all structured out, I switch back to regular guitar.
Okay.
And I start writing my parts for that.
Okay.
Which we had never done before. And naturally, having that type of instrument in your hands things get a little bit more heavy.
Yeah.
And a little bit more aggressive. And I think we kind of found like our newer sound just by doing that.
Yeah.
Alone. And it was fun for me to like experiment with.
I know Chad handles the lyrical duties and Absolution kind of touches on the genocide happening in Gaza right now. But like, was that his kind of focus to like take, you know, all the shitty things in the world and try to dial down on that?
Chad has always been like, his lyrics have always been a reflection of like something that is happening in his life. And even us trying to interject a little bit to be like, hey, what if this line sounded more like this and we use like these kind of words? He's like, no, like that doesn't, like those words don't go with like what I'm trying to express. And I've said it like in some stuff previous to this, like I really respect that about him, that like he really does take a lot of pride and thoughtfulness in like what he's singing and talking about. And previous to Absolution, it's always mostly been about his mental health and like things like that. And his struggle like with those types of things. But with Absolution, we had kept coming to band practice over and over again and like, you know, talking about this. Like, and this is a year ago now.
Yeah.
That we're talking about this. And we debate a lot at practice. And about things going on in the world. And like, I definitely think that like hit hard for Chad, and he wanted to write about it. And we were hesitant because we were like, we're not a political band.
Yeah.
Like do we want to get involved in that? Do we want that to be something that is going to be like on us? Like we all felt the same way Chad feels about it. You know, we're all on the same page. And it just seemed like it was going that way. That's what was happening. And we were like, all right, we're going to do it. Yeah. See how it goes.
Yeah. That's cool. Album's out the 22nd. We've talked about how difficult shows in New York are. I went to the website. There's nothing listed. What is your hope for what this fall could look like and what you want this band to have going forward?
You know, we really care about our sound. We really care about like anything from guitar tones to drum stuff. Like we're in there like working with each other all the time on getting the sound we're going for. And we put a lot of time and effort into that. We put a lot of time and effort into like our in-ear monitoring and our click tracks and our all of these things.
Yeah.
And we're kind of at a point where, you know, we don't want it to sound like cocky in any sort of way, but it's like we want to be able to put on the best show that we can when we do play.
Mm-hmm.
And if we feel like we're not going to be able to put on that performance, we're just not going to do it. We'd rather just keep putting out music, putting out like the coolest stuff we can. And if we're invited to play a cool show with cool bands at a cool venue that can support our live setup, we would love to play it.
Yeah.
And we would love to do a lot more of it.
Yeah.
But we've just found over the years of just, you know, rolling up to that bar with like the PA that barely works and the sound guy that does not know how to hook up your in-ear monitors. It's just like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
We want to make it worth it for us, and we want to make it worth it for the audience as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how fast that live technology has evolved and how not fast some of the sound live tech
where
people have evolved. Those like metalheads who've been doing it since the 80s do not
Yeah. Or like, dude, we just sent you 16 like stems to you for you to like be able to mix us, and like, we can't hear anything.